On the Big Sports Breakfast, time to head to the track and get all the latest racing news with Sydney Morning Herald journo Adam Pengilly. If it's in or out, looking good in the trial, or off to the paddock for a spell, he'll have all the big news covered. Here's Adam with the boys.
Morning, Adam.
Morning, Slats. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How was the weekend?
Busy. Very busy.
Very busy.
Fantastic day on Derby Day. Did you guys enjoy it out there at Flemington on Saturday?
Yeah, we had a ball, mate. I can't say that my wallet was full at the end of the day, but I had fun, yes.
You're probably not the only one that to be honest, Slats. No. So, yeah.
Who shot the barman? Unfortunately, an elevated temperature late yesterday. Chris Wallace had to inform everybody he's out. I tried to explain earlier, Adam, that there's no emergencies because of the computer system. It just doesn't work. We can't have 24 runners in the system and emergencies.
Yeah, there was a review done sort of a couple of years ago, TK, before the 2016 Cup, if you remember, and
yes.
Basically, it was decided the cost, as you mentioned earlier on the program, which is so prohibitive, it'll cost millions and millions of dollars to try and get a new system in. Where they're in today's day and age, they should be able to fork out that money, invest in a new system to be able to have emergencies in Melbourne Cup. Well, I'm not too sure, to be perfectly honest. But again, this debate has reared itself at a long time for Melbourne Cup organisers. I suppose, Connections of Horses of the 25th and 26th in the order of entry probably have every right to be disappointed, given the amount of money they spend on importing these horses, travelling them down here, acceptance fees, everything that's associated with trying to have a Melbourne Cup runner. And then for 48 hours before a race, for one of the horses to be scratched, obviously through no fault of Chris Waller or the stable. It's just part of racing that...
Yeah.
Who shot the barman had an elevated temperature, and they're sitting there with their horse in their box for 48 hours knowing they can't get a start in the race. So, to be honest, TK, I don't know what the answer is. You've been in racing for a long time. We've talked about this for 15 or 20 years, and nothing ever gets done.
Obviously, it's beneficial to everybody to actually have emergencies because, the more runners you got, the better the turnover it should be. That's the theory. But it was a cost in the millions, as you mentioned. I think the TAB, from my information, and the VRC at one stage were willing enough to go 50-50. But then, I think it was the Victorians in the end that said, nah, it's just not worth it for the one race. But, yeah, it's a bit of a, I think we can call it a conundrum, Adam. What about Murray Baker's having a rough trot? He keeps saying his horse isn't lame, and vets keep saying they are lame, and that was a bit of drama late on Saturday as well, with John Snow being ruled out.
Yeah, it was, TK. And if you cast your mind back a few weeks, remember that storm over Bonneville before the Caulfield Cup, whether she was fit to run or not, and Murray was adamant that she had no issues at all. She was fit to run in the Caulfield Cup. She was eventually passed by vets close to race time, and she came out and run pretty poorly in the Caulfield Cup, it must be said, and pulled up lame. So I suppose with that on his track record in the last month or so, it might not have helped his cause on Saturday. But obviously, John Snow was inspected early on Saturday morning. They deferred a decision until later on Saturday afternoon, which to me was just bizarre in itself. There was recommendations made to the VRC committee. Whether a committee should be making a decision on whether a horse is lame or not, I'm not sure. Shouldn't that be the official head vet's role in determining?
But
the committee,
you'd think so.
The committee did say on Saturday afternoon, I apologise, but they weren't going to pass John Snow fit to start. And it was a huge relief for the connections of Thomas Hobson, because he was a horse that was firmly in the gun and going to be stranded at number 25 if John Snow started. And this horse has been pretty heavily backed in pre-post betting. Now, for him to get a start in the race is a huge fillip for Willie Mullins, who now has three runners in the race. His eccentric owner, Rich Ritchie, I don't have much to do with him in the past, TK. He's quite a character.
No.
He's got two runners in the race now, and I seriously think he's a live chance of winning on Tuesday, Thomas Hobson.
Marmello, mate, is the fave now.
Yeah, shot to the top of betting yesterday, Slats. I wasn't quite sure if Almanda was going to hold on to favouritism closer to race time. I thought he might struggle come Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, but it happened to be on Sunday afternoon that Marmello's the horse that's a new Melbourne Cup favourite. Whether he starts as favourite on Tuesday, I'm not 100% sure. I think it's just the fact he's had that run in Australia now, and everyone knows he had a flashing light on in the Caulfield Cup, and immediately punters gravitate towards him. That's the horse they want to be on. They like to see their internationals have a run in Australia before they go to the Melbourne Cup, and we speak about the internationals having not won the Melbourne Cup first up in Australia since Vintage Crop in 1993. It's a staggering statistic. I think almost 100 of them have tried to win the Melbourne Cup without having a lead-up run in Australia and it's failed. But I don't know, TK. I've got the feeling that this year might be the year where one of these horses straight off the plane can win our great race.
Yeah, I mean, the stats a bit skew-iff, if you ask me. I mean, I much rather the horse have a run because you visually, you know, have more confidence whether you like it or not. And it just seems they acclimatised better. You know, they've come out of their box and they've come out of Werribee in really good fettle, you know. But 96, a few have gone like a nose, a head, a half head, close to breaking that statistic, you know what I mean? But it is there. 96 of them have tried and none of them have been able to do it.
And Heartbreak City last year, CK, came within, smallest margin possible. We remember Red Cadeau always used to run first up in Australia in the Melbourne Cup, and he's come close before. So it's a stat that will be broken one day. I'm convinced of that.
Well, I won't argue if it's broken on Tuesday, I can tell you, because I've had something on Thomas Hobson a few weeks ago, which is good. Adam, we'll get your tips and we'll get your first four tomorrow morning on the program when we chat about this time.
Yeah, no problems, TK.